Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Is that what you're talking about? Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim with Walker, Ray, and Steve. Steve Jordahl joined us. Good morning, Steve.
Morning. Hey, I got to tell you, as I was leaving the newsroom, Chad Groening's wife was bringing in pizza. And I know the newsroom, there's not likely to be much left by the time I get back.
No. You're going to be gone for 30 minutes.
I know.
It won't be any left.
That's a heap. Yep.
Maybe one lonely slice of cheese pizza will be left.
I'll take it.
Over there. I tell you what, people I feel most sorry for right now in this country are our friends in Michigan. Good night. This governor they have up there is she shutting down the whole state again, Steve? Have y'all been watching this?
Yeah, actually, I've been looking at California for the same reason, but I haven't noticed what is she doing up in, what's Whitmer doing up in
Michigan? Republican legislature threatening to impeach her. Well, she just keeps laying out these edicts about, you know, what you can't do in Michigan. And of course, she would say it's in response to the COVID crisis, but...
Right.
Anyway, you've been following this, Walker?
Yeah, I have. It's got to be frustrating for the citizens of Michigan because they keep getting set back and set back by their governor, closing things down repeatedly. So it's frustrating, and maybe she'll be struck down in court again like she was a few months ago.
But it's more than that. It's more than court. The state legislature is threatening to
impeach her, yeah.
At least the Republicans, I don't know what the score is there in Michigan in terms of Republicans versus Democrats in the state legislature, but I would imagine there are a lot of Democrats who are unhappy with this.
Yeah, these shutdowns and these, some are even doing curfews. They're doing curfews in various states or cities, and this stuff has to be challenged and struck down because it's so unconstitutional.
You know what, folks? You cannot suspend this Constitution of the United States of America, even in the name of a public health crisis. There's no caveat in the Constitution that says, you know what, if you have a pandemic, then the governors of the state become little kings, or in the case of Michigan, queens. And therefore, until further notice, all your rights are suspended. That's not the way it works, Ray.
You know, Sam Alito, the justice of the Supreme Court, made a speech about that in the last week, 10 days ago, in which he said in that speech exactly what you've just said, that in the name of protection from a pandemic, unprecedented suspension of basic American rights under the Constitution it's happened. He even pointed out religious liberty has been under attack during this pandemic because of the restrictions the governors have put on churches to meet together. I think we're heading to a time where at some point people are going to say, if they haven't already said enough is enough is enough.
They're saying it for Thanksgiving.
Yep.
I'm seeing polls, the vast majority of Americans are saying, we'll take care of our own Thanksgiving plans. Thank you very much, Governor.
Yeah.
Our governors, right. Our mayors, or whatever, we got this. Okay, we're grown ups. We can handle our own Thanksgiving plans.
Yep.
So hey, by the way, on the good news front, John MacArthur's church got some good news, didn't they, Steve?
They did. Yeah, a judge there threw out a whole bunch of restrictions that California was trying to put on them. Although.
The state of California, they were being harassed by their county.
Their county, yeah, the county that they're in.
Yeah.
Had put the number of people that are gathering. So this is the strange thing that happened in California. A judge in California, in San Diego County, has ruled that two adult entertainment venues have to be allowed to open because they have First Amendment rights of free speech. And while nobody that I know is celebrating having two of these venues open because of the venues, what lawyers for churches in California are saying is if a judge is going to say that the First Amendment applies to adult entertainment venues, has to say that it applies to churches, which are specifically listed in the U.S. Constitution. So they're thinking it's going to be a positive ruling, at least in San Diego County, for churches as well.
Yeah, I've been hearing some people talk about how, you know, lockdowns don't work, things like that, based on the science, and I agree with that. But I think the main argument here should be that this stuff is illegal. This stuff is unconstitutional. Because when you take the route of, well, it doesn't work, then that means, well, if they prove that locking you in your house and implementing a curfew for months on end, that if they can prove scientifically that that works, then they can do that. I think we should be arguing on the grounds of these orders are unconstitutional.
Here's the problem. One of the big problems is for governors in particular. And I agree with the idea that President Trump has followed pretty much all along, and that is COVID is an issue for the states to deal with as they see fit, and we are here to support them. We're here, the federal government, my administration is here to support the states, and whatever they may need from us, we're prepared to help give it to them so they can manage the problem better, the COVID problem. That's been basically, wouldn't you say that's a fair description of the president?
Yeah, okay. I think so.
All right. While at the same time, you know, we've been getting some guidance from Dr. Fauci and others in terms of how this would affect our country, whether you like Dr. Fauci or not. I'm just saying that he has been referred to by the White House, as have other doctors, in response to this. Now, but what you get into is these governors making edicts or executive orders, and they're doing so in a way that is allowed by law, generally speaking, in the states to deal with emergencies. Okay, you can invoke an emergency situation, a emergency decision that a governor has to make to save lives, but you can only do that for a certain period of time, be it 30 days, 45 days, 90 days, whatever the case may be. Different states vary. But what I'm saying is, after that, and that's long since passed, you have got to go to the legislature of your state, if you're the governor, to get either the law changed to extend your authority to make unilateral decisions for your state, or you need the state legislature to pass a law on what can be done.
Right.
In terms of restrictions on businesses and such, and churches and such. But even that then has to pass United States constitutional muster.
Tim, what you're saying is tracking exactly with the speech that Ray just mentioned from Samuel Alito.
Okay.
He said that this pandemic has put the Constitution under a stress test. And while he was very cautious not to say a governor is wrong or right because he may be hearing some of these cases, he did, as Ray was mentioning, say that that there's religious freedom is in danger. And he specifically said that if you look at the First Amendment, you will not see a blackjack, carve out or a roulette carve out. Because they're allowing casinos to open, but they're not allowing churches to open. So you're tracking exactly with what Alito's saying. You have to go to the legislature at some point, and I think he's starting to say that the Supreme Court needs to put fences around this unlimited time frame of emergency.
Well, or else you risk losing your freedoms and your liberties and your way of life as Americans. And that's not hyperbole. That's not an exaggeration, because precedent is set. And so we have next time something comes along, you know, and the governors want to shut down their state or regulate their state churches or whatever, and they want to say, well, you didn't say anything back during the COVID, so evidently we've set the you know, the precedent that we do have the authority to control your church.
Right.
Or to control your business, or control your movement, or control your Thanksgiving Day gatherings, or whatever the case may be. And so, all right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Next story, Steve.
Well, the Daily Beast, which is a fairly liberal outlet, has done a deep dive and found some conclusive, incriminating, damaging information on one of the new Republican members of Congress. His name is Madison Cawthorn. He's from North Carolina. And let me just read this and be prepared to sit down because this is going to shock everybody. Madison Cawthorn, the North Carolina Republican who will become the youngest member of Congress in history, has admitted he tried to convert Jews and Muslims to Christianity.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
A Christian who tries to share his faith with others.
Yeah, that's they say he claimed that he converted several Muslims to Christ and several culturally Jewish people. If all you are is friends with other Christians, how are you ever going to lead someone to Christ, said Cawthorn. If you're not wanting to lead someone to Christ, then you're probably not really a Christian.
Boom.
So, boom. You know, impeachment on the horizon here, I can see, because, yeah.
Now, he's the youngest member of Congress now, right?
25 years old.
When he's sworn in.
Yeah, in history, apparently.
Yeah, 25-year-old Republican. Now, he's in the wheelchair.
Yes.
If people want to know who you're talking about, if they remember from the Republican National Convention, if you watch that, he's the young man in the wheelchair. He had a car accident or something?
I believe it was, yeah.
Yeah. And so it left him paralyzed.
And he stood up for the national anthem.
Yeah.
At that convention.
Yeah. It left him paralyzed from the waist down, but he said he was going to stand for the national anthem, and he stood up in his wheelchair, I mean, with his crutches. Anyway, so that's his major sin.
Well, according to the Daily Beast, yes.
Not that the left believes in sin.
No.
Right.
But, I mean, I'm sure that they would probably get him for supporting Trump, so he's, you know, obviously, you know, a Nazi too. But what they're taking him on for is his faith.
All right, next story.
Listen to this. Maricopa County, Arizona, the county that Phoenix resides in, I'm looking at their county recorder and the document that talks about their board of elections. Let me read this for you. The bipartisan board and observers, the central counting place will be staffed by tabulation technicians, Dominion representatives, bipartisan central boards, and political party observers. Dominion is in the counting room counting the ballots.
Where is this?
In Maricopa County, Arizona.
Yeah, that's Phoenix.
Yes, Phoenix.
Well, that doesn't surprise me if their machines are the ones processing the ballots. They probably have to have technicians on hand in case something goes wrong.
Yeah, like it could be. Although, who knows that they're not there to make sure something goes wrong.
Right. Duly noted.
If the allegations Sidney Powell is making, if they are proven out, then that raises a big red flag. What are those Dominion people doing in the counting rooms?
Yeah. So.
You got to wonder. Hey, let's go to the Senate race in Georgia, can we? So what we're finding is, and what people are saying is, from California, they're saying, we are going to move to Georgia so that we can vote in this election. Specifically, Andrew Yang, remember the Yang gang, the very liberal former Democrat presidential candidate? He tweeted out, great news, Yang gang. Evelyn and I are moving to Georgia to help Ossoff and Reverend Warnock win. They're moving to the state.
Well, I wonder,
so they can
how,
vote.
How, of course, they're not going to live there, I guess. What they're saying is move in there like temporarily.
He didn't specify, but I know a lot of people are moving out of California because of the, you know, economy and the business restrictions. Steve, he's a businessman.
Steve, didn't the Secretary of State put a put out a statement on the the last date to register if you move into the state?
He I didn't see that. I did see that there were some warnings from the legislature and the people in Georgia saying, you know, you can't come here and you can't just move here to vote. They're asking people not to move here to vote.
Looks like December 7th.
Was that December 7th?
Yeah, for that special election race, December 7th is the last day to register for the Senate runoff.
Yeah. So.
Well, you know, I don't. We'll see. I doubt very many people do that. A few hundred, maybe.
Yeah, who has the money just to move? Huh? We're just going to move for a month, and then we're going to move back.
Right.
Yeah, speaking of Warnock, this is this Reverend Warnock. He's a pastor. He's the pastor of Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, the church that that Martin Luther King Jr. pastored back in the day. And I want you to hear what he said in one of his messages about the racial component in this country. Listen to cut two.
And if it is true that a man who has dominated the news and poisoned the discussion for months needs to repent, then it is doubly true that a nation that can produce such a man and make his vitriol go viral needs to repent. No matter what happens next month, more than a third of the nation that would go along with this is reason to be afraid. America needs to repent for its worship of whiteness on full display.
Yikes.
What's he talking
what
about?
Is that, what does that even mean?
Well, it's because white people are the majority and they're this kind of the scapegoat for everything. He says that that we are just steeped in white supremacy. And
worship
that America needs
of whiteness.
Yeah. You know who? Yeah, I got another one to play. This is from 19.
He's running for Senate right there.
He is running for Senate.
Okay.
He's
running against, is it Kelly Loeffler?
It is Kelly Loeffler.
She's the current Republican senator from
Georgia.
And this fellow right there you just heard is challenging her. Okay.
Listen to him in 1995. This was at Abyssinian Baptist Church in Harlem. It's a well-known church. In fact, it's the church that who's the guy that came
Adam,
over?
Adam was it Adam Clayton Powell? Was that?
I'm thinking of the guy that the German guy that
Bonhoeffer
came over to this country and started attending. Anyway, it has a long history, but for some reason in the 90s they had a congregation there that was a little bit into Cuba and Castro. Listen to Warnock introducing Fidel Castro at Abyssinian Baptist Church. Cut three.
Brothers and sisters, comrades and friends, I give to you the hero of the struggle of people throughout the world, Comandante Fidel Castro.
Can you believe the cheering for Castro in a Baptist church?
That was him, though. That was he was the youth pastor. Warnock
at the time.
Introducing.
Yeah.
That's Warnock introducing
Castro.
Castro?
Yep.
Oh, man. And this is the guy the Dems are putting up for the Senate in Georgia?
Wow. That's to run a guy so far, far left in
makes
Georgia.
Makes Bernie Sanders look conservative.
I don't see how in the world he can win in Georgia. Of course, I said that of Biden. We'll see what happens there with the recount. But this guy's far to the left of Biden. It just would be I don't think that'll happen, but we'll see. I guess
are they using the same Dominion voting system for these runoff elections in Georgia?
I would think, and I don't know I don't have the factual answer for that, but I would think it'd be very difficult to switch systems.
Right.
Between then and now.
He's an Al Sharpton race baiting type, isn't he?
Sounds like
to me, huh?
Yes.
Worship whiteness, and what was he saying? Anybody who voted for Trump, was he talking about President Trump?
Yes.
Yeah, and what was he saying that if you voted for him, you're
complicit? That wasn't
complicit
his word,
with what?
He's talking about 73 million people. Basically.
White supremacy.
Yeah. You're if you voted for President Trump, you're complicit with white supremacy.
That's what his yes. That wasn't
that's
his
exact
argument, words, but
yeah.
That's his argument. Yeah.
What's his evidence for that? Does he give one or three or four things?
Well, he could probably point to three or four instances of black men being killed by white police officers, I think is what
That's it?
I don't know. I mean,
they don't need evidence.
It's true.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why I always ask for it. I would I would like to ask this fella, Warnick, give me about five examples. I would like, if you're going to make this kind of a charge that people who vote for President Trump are KKK types, I need some evidence for what you're saying to be true. I do see President Trump increased funding for the college Negro.
Right, that's historically black.
The historically black colleges for 10 years, and the presidents of these historically black colleges were lauding President Trump for doing this.
Yeah.
I did see President Trump lauded by the African-American community and their leaders for criminal justice reform a couple of years ago.
Yep.
So, and there was no history for President Trump of racism or racist claims or activities or those of white supremacy. You know what I'm trying to say. Prior to his election, and he was in the public eye for decades. So this whole thing about President Trump, if you want to say I don't agree with President Trump on this issue and that issue and this issue and that issue, therefore I'm opposed to him, vote for me, and that's fine.
Right.
But to say people who vote for him are white supremacists, or Ilhan Omar called us KKK, she said we're people who...
Klan.
The Klan.
Right.
Listen to Cut 9 real quick. It's 13 seconds.
Yeah, go ahead.
To speak about me at every single rally didn't really matter where he was.
Right.
Sometimes multiple times in a day. As he had held his Klan rallies throughout the country.
Wow.
See, that's the kind of stuff you get. Now, I would like to do a liberal media fact check.
Yeah.
They don't do a fact check on her,
right?
Do they? Or anybody on the left?
Well, this is a notorious tactic by the left. They name call, they smear, they slander, and then they get away with it and they move on.
Yeah. But I know it's just, and if you, it's one of those things. What's the old saying? If you say something over and over and over and over again, people will believe it.
Yeah,
that's what it's become with President Trump, and he's a Nazi, and that's what that's basically what Christine Amanpour, is that her correct?
Christine Amanpour, yes.
From CNN, she had to backtrack and apologize to the citizens of Israel because she was basically saying that President Trump is Hitler. And they're over there going, you got to be kidding me. You're saying Hitler put 6 million Jews in concentration camps, and you're comparing a president of the United States, duly elected, with Hitler? That diminishes, it's very offensive to Jewish people.
Absolutely.
Especially who have family members who went through that Holocaust. So these far lefties, like we just described, they just throw these charges and accusations around like, racist, KKK rallies, you know, Nazis. It's no wonder, Steve, that people who are attacked because people who have supported the president are dehumanized.
Absolutely. No.
Huh?
Yes, that's exactly what it is. They firmly believe that we are all Nazis and that they are justified in sucker punching us or throwing fireworks at our dinner.
Committing acts of violence or doxing or canceling or going after your jobs as...
Who wouldn't take out Hitler if they had the chance, right?
Yeah, anyway. All right, Ray, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Go to your website, keepbelieving.com, for that free book.
That's it.
Okay.
Keepbelieving.com.
All right. Walker, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Steve, appreciate it.
My pleasure.
My thanks to Ray. And excuse me, to Fred and to Brent Creeley, our producer, and we'll see you tomorrow, everybody.